Hi, I'm your host, Anthony Giorgio, and you're listening to another episode of QT, Queer Teen Podcast, showcasing and encouraging the next generation of queer youth from across the world to stand up for what's right. So this episode is super exciting because I just came back from India with the workshop that I created called Brahmi to Bombay. And I was fortunate to sit down with four strapping young gentlemen to hear their side of the story as to what it means to be out or not living in India. So here's part one of Queer India. All right, so I'm just going to do this for myself. We're sitting here in India, and I'm about to start some interviews with several people in regards to what it means to be gay living in India, specifically as a youth. So, how are you doing?
Let me just talk a little bit. What about you?
I'm good. I'm just going to move a little closer. So, the question is, what is it like trying to live your truth in India? How do you consider yourself a gay man?
As of now, yes.
Okay, as of now, yes. So it what's
it like?
It means
a basic yes for me because I'm still not much more attractive to girls. I like males a lot. I like only male because as of now I've not been attracted towards female or towards that gender. I've not yet been into any. I don't have that factor, or I don't feel that feeling in me what a straight people or a straight man has for a female. It's like compared to the sexuality, or if you compare to their, you know, just comparing just for their sex. If it compares to for sex also, then it for me, I'll prefer men's because I've not yet done sex with females yet, and not even attracted towards female if it compares or it's towards for sex. So yes, I like males.
Do you feel most comfortable being with a man?
Yes.
Are you out to anybody?
Yes.
Yes. Friends or family?
Friends. Family, not yet.
Not yet.
Friends, yes. Few of my friends knows about me. I mean, like, they don't exactly know about me that I am gay, but they, my few friends knows that I am into males or I like males. And I'm not yet having a girlfriend or any female attraction or like.
So I have a question, because in India specifically, boys mostly hang out together, right? It's mostly packs of boys. And they hold hands and they're close to each other. Now, what was that experience like for you? Because it's a little more for you, because it's not just being friends with your guy friend holding hands with, you know, homo, like doing things that seem gay to people. Is that how you kind of discovered that you were gay? Because, you know, it does feel good if you like the person and you get to hold their hand.
Not exactly just catching just holding the hands of a male made me gay so much. Actually has a very different feeling if I am more comfortable with men, so that is my feeling and that is my thing, that I'm much more comfortable. That's it. And that is what I am, I can say.
Yeah.
So that makes me even proud. Though I'm not even yet open to my family and more friends or towards the nation or a city or a country. But still, I'm more comfortable towards gay, so I don't feel, even if somebody, yes, I can say I have something sometimes weird, like if somebody who knows me and I'm holding a hand of someone and I'm walking through and then suddenly someone sees me, so they will be feeling something different of me. I can understand because I'm not yet open, so that would be one of my questions inside me as well. But still, I'm much more comfortable towards men. So if I'm holding a hand or being with a man, what's wrong in that? So
exactly. What is wrong? Nothing is wrong with that.
Correct.
What do you see for yourself? How do you kind of see for yourself, like, being able to live your full truth to everybody? Like, what do you think that looks like, to be completely out and comfortable with everybody, especially now that since they dismantled 377 here in the country? Could you see yourself eventually, like, coming out and being comfortable telling your parents and your cousins and whoever else in your family and your friends? Could you see yourself doing that? Or would you want to get married?
As of now, I'm not yet open with my family and my cousins. Like I said, I'm open with very few of my friends as well. But getting open towards my friend, who also, like, few of my friends who knows me and who understands me, and they support me for that as well. So that's a very good thing for me. Thank you, my friends, if you hear this after that. And I'm like, if my few of my friends knows this about me, so I feel nice. They actually, I feel very good and thankful to them as well. Like always, at least they knows me and they understands me. And to make that thing understand towards my cousins or to my parents or to my family will take some more time. And I guess, and I hope for the best that if they understands me, so I will be very, very much happy, so that I'm open to my family as well. And that's it. So even anybody later on wants to come out, so even then that will be more easier for me to make him understand that that's not a problem, or to make his parents understand that even my parents had the same thing, so now they have understand. So I believe that you will be also taking some time to understand your child. So I think you should start supporting and just see or put your shoes inside your leg into his shoes, basically, and then understands what we call as empathy. So I believe you all will understand it's 21st century now, and that we all are starting. It's just started a year as of now, so not even year, but still it is good. You can support that. It's just a feeling that a somebody or a different person have that feeling for someone and he is comfortable in that. So it can be.
Have you ever had anyone discriminate against you? Put you down? Call you names?
Like calling my names, like teasing me?
Yeah, teasing you.
Teasing me, yes, it was when I was in my school or in my college. And sometimes now also some people tell, or like some few of my friends also tell that, if like whichever friends who doesn't know about my fee, so they act sometimes, or they teases me sometimes as well. But that's okay. I completely hear it from one of my ears and remove that from other, and ignore sometimes, like ignore them. That's it. I'm like, if they're just teasing them, because they don't know that fact. They right. doesn't want to, anytime they doesn't want to, you know, accept that, or, you know, doesn't want to agree what is that. So they also have that mentality of the straight people, which was years back in India, of like, how we can say, is that 60s and 70s centuries brains, still few of people have, and few straight people though always has that. So it will take some time, and that's also difficult for them to understand. If they still, even if it's difficult, still there's their own choice if they doesn't want to understand the word. But we can make we will be trying our level best to make them understand. But still, if it's not, then we won't be stopping that, because we are what we are.
Right. How you do you go to gay functions or clubs or bars or any protests or anything like that?
No, not yet. I have been to Gay Pride last year, not this year, which was recently happened on 2nd of Feb, I believe, mm-hmm. a week ago. But last year I was, so I was very feeling very like no. I first that was my first pride. I was feeling you know because some of that was for a few minutes of life. I was not comfortable. I can say because I was seeing such a huge crowd with different costumes or with different attires or different designs patterns, and that was for me for some time also. That was difficult to be with them. But slowly and steadily, I was walking through the pride, or I was marching through. So that, but that was just you know. After seeing that, that was encouraging me as well. So after that, after a few time, I was comfortable.
Okay.
And I saw a few of the straight people, or few of them who are open at their place, who their parents were supporting. And few of them's cousins or like friends, especially girls who understands. I believe that's the most amazing, and thanks for females as well who supports. So that thing made me encouraged, and I was there, so that was a good thing.
Do you find it confusing? Because can you explain to the people that are going to listen the difference between men who have sex with men versus men who are actually gay and want to like live their truth here in India? Because it's different in the States. So in the States, if people aren't out, there's no men for men sex.
They don't compare that. Only this is happening in India, and I wish that this should also stop in India. And like if recently, not even a year back, the section 377 has been started. So I think this should go on, and even we should get our even rights, whatever rights we have, because we also have our livings, we also have our feelings, so that even we can express and we can spread that. If spread in the sense, not people making making straight people gay, but those actually are, so we can help them by coming out to their family, to the country, or to the world. So that will be the proud thing.
It would make it a lot easier for people if you know.
Yes.
Once people start to come out and like really show up for the community, of course we need our allies as well, like people that are straight. And but what would you what was one thing that you could do? If you could do anything right now, like right at this very moment, here in India, and have like one message to transform the communities that they are, what would you say to everybody? What would you say?
Never hide your feelings. I mean, it's difficult to, you know, to be comfortable, or to, you know, we hide our feelings sometimes. So, but I understand that's a difficult part. But still, we, at least slowly and steadily, we'll come out. So that will be more easy for us, especially with we can start by with our few friends. Then we can go to our cousins. Then it will be to our family. But just you don't hide yourselves. Slowly and slowly, start coming out. And just support. And you can be yourself, because you have that feeling inside you. And actually what you are, so you don't have to be. I can understand, because in India, that's a very difficult part, and which is continuing from this very long years. Still, we have just started, so I'll support them. I'll try and understand for them as well. And one message basically more is like, never hide your feelings. Start slowly and steadily, come out. So that will make more easier for us and everybody else as well.
Okay, so hello, I'm from Rainbow Tigers, and I'm here to talk about the youth, queer youth of India, how it takes to be a youth in India. So, as a child growing up, I've been building a lot of feminine traits within myself, and that itself created a lot of buzz for me in the school, at my home as well. And there is, and this, it started all, the discrimination because usually we like to preserve things which are very rare in nature, but we really dislike when we see something unusual in humans, and that's exactly what happened with me. Since childhood, I was very much sure that I am into guys and I like guys, not the girls. And I've been very much predetermined about it, that I'm not gonna go with the girl. So slowly as I grew up and as I, you know, went forward and met new people, they all were like, okay, he's a nice guy, he's a really good guy, but why does his hands move like this and not like this? Why does his hips move so much? Why does he walk like, why is he so clumsy? Why is he so bubbly? You're not supposed to be like that. You're like being the eldest person in my house. I have a sibling as well, but he's younger too. So they are like, you're the eldest in the house. You should be more responsible, more manly. You should be like Griff and you should go out like a build man. But that is not how my personality was as I grew up or as I'm going through in life. And being a gay in India, that is the biggest issue. We talk about equality, we talk about gender neutrality, we talk about, you know, acceptance. And I would say there is acceptance quite to an extent, but not at the largest scale. And that is what we are figuring out these days. First of all, you cannot walk on streets possibly, like, normally. Because even if you walk, people will make fun of you. Like, it was an incident that happened yesterday. I was out for a walk and I had my earphones plugged in. And as I walked, there was a group of boys coming inside. And they were laughing at me. So I just asked them, something is weird on my face. Like, my smile is so weird. So they said nothing. But when they went, they started walking and, like, teasing me. So that is something very awful you see in public while you're walking. I thought that was the one moment where, you know, I felt that we talk about acceptance, and but there is not at all what it takes to be. Like, what we think is completely opposite to what's happening. Secondly, acceptance at home is a very, very disastrous thing, I would say. Because when I came out to my parents, it's like my dad never talked to me for 9 months. He completely broke contact with me. It was like, even if I'm in the house, I was like the isolated person. I was not the one who people talk to me. They never asked me for food. And there was an issue where they weren't even letting me study. They were like, you want to study, you study on your own. We are not going to take care of you since we don't consider you as our child. So this went through like for 9 months and I went into a depression. I was actually very much depressed with whatever was happening around me. And I thought that, you know, it is not so good thing that is happening. And then I was so isolated and I was so into depression that I stopped eating. I stopped talking. And one fine day, I just collapsed and I lost my balance. After that, I was taken to psychologists in the Nair Hospital. And my training went on to like 2 months. After that, I asked my father to come and have a counsel with the counselor as well. And then the counselor made him understand that it's not a disease or it is not something which is curable. You cannot give him medicines or you cannot inject him with something and change his mindset forever. But it takes you like a guts to accept your child. At the end of the day, he's your child. You cannot say he's not my child. Because you've been bringing up him since like 18 years of your life. And now when you got to know him, his personality, you would definitely would not like to, you know, let him go and get involved into outside things. So that was one point where my father thought it's okay. But there is one mindset in the minds of Indian parents is that if you're gay, that means you might be involved in sex work. You might be more sexual active. You might be more into a lot of drug abuse, high funds. And that is how the mentality goes. And the biggest mentality is they don't know the comparison between a transgender and a gay man in India. It is the one big issue. If you are gay, they will call you a chakka or a hijra. That is the one big issue. which is not very appropriate because we have a gender spectrum, and you know, calling ourselves beside that is something which is very insulting, because you don't have a right to call somebody a chaka or a transgender. It takes a guts to be a transgender and to accept ourselves as a trans. So this went on like for 2 years in my life, and then slowly when my father saw that I'm much more into my academics, I'm much more into NGO stuff, so he was like, okay, let him do, if he's doing something good, then let him go ahead. We are not someone who could, you know, really go on to and stop him from doing things. Then I came into the mainstream community, like the LGBT community. So it was my first time. And when I joined Gaurav CBO as its youth team, they all can
explain that.
Okay. So Gaurav CBO is an community-based organization. It works for male sex workers and spreading awareness about the HIV and AIDS. And so it was like in 2016 when they started with their youth wing. It was basically an initiative where we, you know, engaged the youth to come up with things and do something innovative in order to help the society, because we have a lot of LGBTQ NGOs and youth teams in India. But ours was like, they had an idea that if we called ourselves from the society or we talk about inclusion, we need to go out and help the society and not just a particular community. So that was the whole motto around Rainbow Tigers. So it was formed and I had the privilege to be a part of it. And that was the time when I actually grew up as a person. I actually knew more about myself. I actually explored myself more about how it takes to be a gay man, or how you can, you know, change your world, change the society with your views. And that was a point where I got the confidence to, you know, put up my views and my thoughts like straight to the point. And we did a lots of events with the heterosexual communities as well. We had a collaboration with an NGO and we had a good time with them. And so what we decided, that let's, charity begins at home. So let us call our parents and let us get involved into all these things. So we created a WhatsApp group for parents.
Oh, great.
Yeah. And we kept on.
What's it called?
It's called Rainbow Tigers Only, but it is just a separate group for parents. And we added all the parents over there. And it's like, we used to post things regarding LGBT, what exactly it is. Some news regarding LGBT and something which spreads an awareness, because lots of parents had a negativity in mind that my son is a gay, will he wear a sari and move out of the house one day? So that was a very difficult time, because parents were not allowed about the gender spectrum and how one's personality can differ. Like, if a person likes to wear jeans, it's not necessary the other person would love to wear that. So that is something which we started with, that awareness, and we went on to pass messages, and that really created a lot of help. Like, so there's this one event organized by the Humsefar Trust called the Acceptance Meet, where all the parents come, and it was a great pleasure that we had 9 families from our group to go there and actually attend the event and talk about the issues. Next was like, then we thought about, let's go on a larger scale and, you know, inspire other people rather than making it a social media thing. So we started with another initiative with a collab NGO called the QNIT. And we started this thing called Queer Katta. So Queer Katta is basically like a college katta, like where we all, the college students, we gather our friend circle. We usually sit in the colleges and the benches, we chit chat, talk about issues. So we started this Queer Katta so that, you know, we can create safe spaces for people, because there are lots of times that people are scared of coming out, or they are really scared of talking about their issues or their problems which they have and they're facing, because they think that if parents are not understanding, how will the other people would understand us? So that's the reason we try to start with this thing called Queer Katta. And that was a really good initiative. We never thought that the response would be so great. Like, we had around 20 people in the first Katta itself. And we talk about a lot of things. We have completed 4 Kattas till now. And there have been various topics, from high fun to HIV to love, breakups. Then we had coming out stories, my pride stories, and all those stuffs. So it's like we are giving a platform to others to come and talk to us how they feel they do, or what are the problems. Because as a person, I can be ready to help the other person, but I don't know if the other person will be willing to help the other one. So that's the reason why we collected all those members. We created groups, and we keep on telling everybody that if you have any problem, come in the Katta, talk about this. You can suggest us what our next topic can be. If you want to talk about your issues, we can keep this as our next topic, where everybody can speak about their issue, and we might learn something from each other. So that was the whole idea behind Queer Katta. So that is our regular initiative, which we do like every month, once in a month. Other than that...
How's it helped you? How's this organization helped you?
Yeah. So when I stepped into the organization, I was this very much closeted guy. Like, I was not even social. I not used to talk a lot. I used to sit quietly at a place, and I never liked to, you know, get involved into all these things. Because when I got open to my family, I never had the thought that, I never even knew that something like pride takes place in India. That was like something big for me. I never knew something like this happens, or there's a parade goes on every year. So it was kind of very much new for me. And so there was a time where I started feeling uncomfortable sitting with those people, talking with them, because our group does not consist of just gay men. We have lesbians, we have trans, and we do have heterosexual people as well in the group who are allies. So that was something which really was odd for me, because I've never seen so much of people in my life with all of the gender personalities and different things. So I used to get scared, and I used to sit back, like I used to go back, no, you talk, I'll just sit over there. And later what happened is when I started going through the events, I started talking with them, then I realized that it's so important to put your views strongly, because unless and until you won't have your views clear, you won't have your own things to give to back to the society, you won't be able to, you know, just be yourself. That's not what you want to be.
Do you consider yourself an activist?
I wouldn't say I consider myself as an activist. I would say that I'm just a person, and I'm just trying to bring a change. I don't need tags for doing that.
No, but you sound like an activist. Which is great. But you don't, it's true, you don't need labels, but, yeah. You know, you sound like you're very strong-willed, and I think it's fantastic. What do you see, if you could tell India anything right now, specifically for the queer community, what are your hopes for the future?
Well, if I see the queer community back then and back now, I've seen a tremendous evolution in them. From the personalities to the acceptance and a lot of things. And every day I read something or I see something, there's something new I see about the community and the peoples. So I would just say that no matter what happens, you just have to be yourself. It really takes guts to, you know, live in a country full of so much cultures and so full of rules and each community has a separate regulations and norms to follow. And being queer in this such a culturistic nation, I think it really takes guts, first would I say. But I would say second thing is you should accept yourself first rather than asking others to accept you. Self-acceptance is very important, and it really helps you to grow. That's what helped me to grow in this society. Because I belong to a very middle-class Mumbai family. So that was one time where, you know, I realized that, no, if I can do, others can also do. It might take time, but just be yourself and put your clear views very clear that this is my view and this is what I want, unless and until you won't be firm on your words or you won't be firm on your story or you won't be firm on what you think and what you can do, nothing is going to happen. And I would say that India is a very beautiful country and the people are really amazing and they're very much, very much accepting the queer community. Not like, well, I wouldn't say 100%, but definitely 40 to 50% people do accept. So I think Rome was not built in a day. So definitely it will take time, but I think in the near future, we might have a hell lot of acceptance in the community and people might, you know, start seeing a human as a human first and then judge him for what he is, what his sexuality is, or how he looks, or how he walks and how he talks. So that is the motto of our group, that you should consider a human as a human first and then you should decide his name, his sexuality, or whatever characteristics he has. So I think that we have a hope in near future that India might, you know, start treating humans as humans first.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to part one of Queer India. For more information on Rainbow Tigers, you can find them on social media at Facebook or Instagram at Rainbow Tigers. Stay tuned next week for part two, when I was able to sit down with my friend Prince Mavendra Singh Gohil, the first openly gay prince of India. And I'm your host, Anthony Giorgio, and this is QT, Queer Teen Podcast, showcasing and encouraging the next generation of queer youth from across the world to stand up for what's right. And remember, listen, learn, love.